Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
The episode you're about to check out is amazing. We have Miranda Franklin in this bitch. But before we get into it, what I need y'all to do is I need y'all to go ahead and leave a comment. One comment each. That's all you got to do is tell us how great this podcast is and tell your
and
friends.
And subscribe.
All right. Let's do this. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
And I'm Derek Gaines.
And we are back for your stinking asses, baby. We got Miranda Franklin
in this bitch. Another episode for your stinking asses. Hold on.
I told you. I said he was on the lag.
Keep going.
Miranda Franklin.
Yeah, we got Miranda Franklin here.
Absolutely.
Miranda. Oh, okay, let's just mute.
Because I need all the Wi-Fi I can get.
I
love your cat. Look, can you just pet your cat for me, please?
Yo, I don't
know. Hi, baby.
She doesn't even normally do this. She
Vivian's used to me now.
But she must have known I was talking to you today. Look.
Oh.
There you go.
She's so pretty.
That's London.
Hi, sweetie.
Say hi to Miranda, London.
Hi, London. See, London can even hear a cat lady.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, London. How are you, London?
You see how she's just chilling?
See the tail's like cat lady on the phone.
Look at that. She don't care. All right. Are we starting that over again?
Yeah, let's do it one more time.
You got good connection now?
I got better connection now, yeah.
All right. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of
No Need for Apologies.
I'm Monroe Martin.
And I'm Derek Gaines.
And we're back, baby. We got Miranda Franklin in this bitch.
Miranda Franklin, yeah. Ew, nigga, you smell like French fries.
Well, that was my line, yes.
Yeah.
In the Whack Arnold sketch on the Chappelle Show. Woohoo!
I didn't even know that was you until I think Derek told me. He was like, "Nah, that's the girl from Dave Chappelle Show, the Whack Arnold." I was like, "Really?" I was like, "Holy shit!"
I transform.
You do. You definitely did. You definitely did.
I can change.
Bitch.
Oh, that was the most fun line right there. Yeah. That one, because whenever you get a chance to tell a celebrity off in a acting role, it's so much fun. I was like, you punk, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. Ooh, you smell like French fries.
Plus, that is very much me anyway. I used to always be that kid that had the last line like that.
Yeah. I mean, now you seem pretty even keel. So to me, it was so different from your personality.
Well, I was acting, but there is a large part of me that wants to get the last word in. Absolutely.
Yeah. Word. Absolutely.
You're short people always, always come out with that last.
Napoleon complex. Do you think you have a Napoleon complex?
Only guys have that?
No. Women can have Napoleon complexes. Just because it's a Napoleon complex doesn't mean it's specifically
for one race. Are you mansplaining the Napoleon complex?
Mansplaining. I'm just saying women.
It's just so funny. The Napoleon complex was specifically made for a man. That's why it's called the Napoleon complex. It's not called Janet's complex. Is that called
7 is black?
But the future, is female, and it'll be sexist if I only keep a thing for just men. So
that's
women suffer.
Are you trying to have a fluid conversation?
I'm trying to have a gender fluid conversation.
Let's just have a gender fluidity thing.
I have never had it. a Marina Franklin complex, I'll call it.
Okay.
Okay.
And so I've never even knew I was short, actually. That's the first. I always thought it was cute to be short.
Yeah, no one said it wasn't cute. You could be cute, short, and mean. That's usually the combo.
I thought girls didn't want to be taller because, like Carmen Lynch, for example, comedian who's mm-hmm. tall, she always had to find a guy her height, you know? Yeah. Like, I've never had to worry about that. If a guy's taller than me, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get that. I don't get why tall women want a freakishly tall guy. Because if you're tall and he's taller than you, like Carmen Lynch is what, 6'3"?
Carmen Lynch ain't 6'3".
I don't think she may be 6 feet.
She might be 6 foot, but she ain't 6'3".
Yo, Carmen.
I'm 6'3", nigga.
Yeah, nigga, y'all look eye to eye. Y'all look in each other's eyes.
Carmen Lynch is not as tall as me. That's crazy.
Dude. And if for order for her to feel safe in a tall man's arm, the nigga got to be like 6'5".
6'5".
Yeah, I'm 6'5". I'm going to die early. That's what you want? You want a tall nigga that's going to die early?
Yeah. Tall niggas get hip dysplasia.
Hold on. Go.
She doesn't want anyone shorter, I guess. But, you know, like for me, like mm-hmm. shorter would be for a guy to be shorter than 5'3". Yeah, that's probably a guy who has a Napoleon complex.
But what if he's 5'3" with like a big personality? What if he's like,
confident? He's my height, so yeah. That will be fine. And if he was super confident, like if he's 5'3" and he's got all the character traits he needs, then we good. At this point, Monroe, mm-hmm. I'm not too choosy. I'm not too picky. It's at my age, it ain't too many left in the barrel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
ain't too many options out there.
You ain't got too many prospects. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You going from the Goodwill box now. You have like a little thrift shop.
Lost and found box. The old DVD can.
If I get just a guy who can look straight. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can keep it young, no?
I've done young before. I've done very young.
What's very young?
Yeah, what is very young? Is it like entanglement young?
Entanglement young?
Wait, how many years was he younger than her? I didn't do the math.
Well, he was like, he was probably like 24.
Yeah.
Right? Because he's 27 now.
Nigga, Jada was 24 in a low down dirty Shame. So do the math.
I can't. That's the thing.
Yeah, I can't do the math. Joe, can you see the age difference? Are you able to do like black Google searches?
I'm so glad you guys have a guy who does that for you. I'm always doing my podcast and I'm like, and there's no one there to do the search.
Yeah. Yeah, man. We got
Joey and Dylan always look out.
You're so lucky. White guys. Well, the last guy I dated was younger than me was 17 years younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He was 24, so.
Yeah, that's something about right. I always tell people I fell in love with a woman that was 16 years older than me back when I was 23, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, but it's not, you know, once they're over, I would say 21, but it was a lesson learned. I will never do that again, ever, because, well, especially at 24,
yeah.
Sorry, your brain's just not developed.
No, I agree. Okay, she was 48, he was 27. So just take minus 4 from that. So, yeah.
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 You know, she did kind of what I did. It's all right.
Yeah.
I understand it. Look, I think it's more of a match because biologically,
mm-hmm.
women at that age are horny because it's like that last stage before they can give birth anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like God's way of saying, you better fuck.
Yeah.
Because if you don't fuck now, you out.
You're trying to stick your head out that finish line. Yeah, that's that last lap. Yeah, that's true.
And God is like, God just makes women 45 to like 48 mm-hmm. are extremely horny. And it matches the sexual of a young man who's like 24.
But you don't even have moves at 24. You don't start developing moves until like 28.
I would 27, say that's
27, 28.
27, 28, you got moves. You can, like, early on, you can fuck long. But like moves are different. You know the way your dick works. You like, yeah, yeah, I can hit it like this.
Body
this
works.
Yeah.
You can throw the hips in different ways to know how to get there more faster and effectively at 28.
I would say at a point you just want them to go long because you at 48.
Yeah.
Any man around that time ain't going past is they need Viagra.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, that's what we're saying, like 28. So if you stick in the 28 to like 27 to 28 to 30 range, you'll be fine. He's already mature. Oh,
yeah, you're getting married.
Yeah. So I'm saying that's your pool, Marina.
You're fast track to marriage. This is gonna work. Yay.
Oh no, you're not getting married.
I'm just saying that's if it's that good. So if you got the moves and you going forever, yeah. That's
if
good
you
to
got
have.
The moves. Last Dragon, you
lock
know,
that in. Lock it
Bruce
in.
Bruce Leroy asked Vanity to
was marriage move. Something you wanted? Because you're like you have a really great career, so you do. Like
thank
I'm not,
you.
Yeah. So was marriage something that you wanted, or it was like if it comes, it comes. I'm gonna focus on this for comedy. It was if it comes, it comes.
If it comes, I was always like that. I look back because I guess I'm at an age where people go, why didn't you ever get married? Yeah. So I was like, it was not my focus. Comedy was always my focus. My art was always my focus. Being on stage was my focus. Getting that ass was really the stage for me.
Yeah.
The stage, you know, yeah. I made that my love. That I made that my child. I made that my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I made that my love. Yeah.
Yeah. And your bitch sometimes, all right? Sometimes you got to choke the shit out of comedy.
And my abusive relationship, sure.
Yeah, comedy is very abusive, but it's the best abusive relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beat you up. I've been beat many a night. Had to sleep in my car because comedy wasn't fucking with me. But I get it. Yeah,
it's I let go of probably what would have been my husband. Mm-hmm. It was the first joke I wrote around that time, the Haitian boyfriend that I said I left. I said, you know, I was with the Haitian guy for 4 years. I didn't know, I forget how the joke went. It's been so long since I've done it, but 4 years is a long time to be with someone when you don't like them. And then I had to think back to the first time. And I remember him saying to me, Marina, you're going to be with me forever. Well, that was the, you know, voodoo.
Yeah.
But he was a good man.
Yeah.
He would have been the husband. He wanted children. He was a provider. He was actually, you know, I joked about him not being patient with my career, but he was very patient. His whole family loved me. But I didn't want any distractions.
Yeah. I
had such a love for comedy that I was like, he's still too much in the way.
Damn. But that, I don't know. I don't want to make generalizations, but I feel like that's normal though for women. Like women
Marina,
don't want the perfect guy. Yeah, you don't want the guy who's perfect for you. You want something that you can build up a little bit. The perfect guy. Yeah. Like the perfect guy for you is like he a loser. Like most like good guys who cook for you, who make sure that you're fine, who calls you and talks to you, he's a fucking loser. That's why I don't listen to my wife. My wife loves me because I don't listen.
She likes the work. Well, I will say I did have that problem early on, but I am not like typically like most women. That's what I've that's what guys have actually comic guys.
Yeah.
DC Benny was the one who said it to me. He goes, "You're like a dude." And I don't think a lot of dudes know that about you, but it was just like it was the way I was raised. Like I really kind of, and I shouldn't have, right?
Yeah.
But I really looked up to my dad and my uncle for being players. No. Okay. And I shouldn't have done that, but I thought that was fucking cool.
Because
I used to look at the women in their lives and be like, don't be a bitch.
Yeah.
That was not right. That was not the right attitude to have. I was like, what are you doing fucking crying? Why are you nagging him? Leave him alone. So I didn't ever want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be like the guy, and I wanted to be like, I wanted to be running it, you know, and dating all types of.
I mean, it's refreshing when you see that, though.
I like that.
I like seeing women like that, and I like women like that. Those are the women you run towards, though. You like, fuck, wait, I want to be in your stable.
Yeah, I was like, I don't. Sharks.
I like those. I like sharks.
Marina was a goddamn shark.
I was like, I'm gonna hurt your feelings. Yeah. How about that? Look, I'm gonna sleep with you and then be gone. Get out. I was always like that. And I used to tell other girls, I said, you can't be like me. If you sleep with a guy and you catching feelings, then that's how you are. That's how you're made up. You can't do what I do.
Yeah.
I'm not like that.
You don't catch feelings.
I do, but I don't. I like.
No, you
like,
catch them like this. You catch feelings like that. Give me your feelings, nigga.
You don't catch them in your heart.
Not when especially not when I was younger. I would say now I'm a little better, but when I was younger, I was brutal. Like I would just, I would sleep with a guy and be like, all right, whatever. Next. And I would just not care.
I fell for a chick like you in LA. I was like that. I got sharked. She ate my little seal ass up. Yeah, it was bad. Even the dogs that she had knew. They was like sleep on the floor while he was fucking. It was like, he'll be out of here soon enough. And then one of the dogs hopped on the bed when we was done and got like right in the owner's back. So I couldn't even turn over to get that hold extra scoop.
Yeah.
They was like, dude, you got to go, bro. We got a schedule. So yeah, it was.
I've seen guys cry and I've been like, oh, God. But I was just like, I was vicious like that. Like my girlfriends were like, Marina ain't got no heart. And I was like, I do. I'm just like, I didn't want to be like that because I was like I said, it wasn't the right way to be. Right.
Yeah.
But it was just like, I had such an admiration. Like my Uncle John was like a black Fonzie to me. Like he ran so many chicks. I was like, look at that. That's so, oh man. Yeah. I was like, what up, Joe?
You're a female pimp.
Joe said, Marina is my hero.
Yeah, she's great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just the way I was. I mean, maybe it's just, I don't know. Like I said, it's just, I don't know if it's the right way of being, but I really
Marina,
did.
But nah. But you got to understand, I came to New York for women like you because I was told not to fuck with women like you when I was in church. Back in Jersey. Like, I remember when my pastor was like, Derek, I hear you moving to New York. You're going to meet some women, some real women. That ain't saliva shooting out your dick, nigga. Be careful. And I was like, God dang. So I was like, but you the ones that be like, come here, little nigga, and talk to me real fast. Give me that and get the fuck out of here. Like, that's what I was like, oh, they're out there? None of these. Why can't you be with me? Why can't you love me like
well, no,
you love
I had a comp. I had a
Jersey.
I was complicated though because I was sweet. You didn't know it was coming. Mm-hmm. So I didn't be like, come here, nigga. I didn't do that. I wasn't like that. I was just like, hi.
He's like, hi, you like video games? And I was like, I love video games. You like, come here.
I'm a gamer too. I'll fuck you and say goodnight. Goodbye.
Uh-huh. You fucking change your gamer tag and everything.
Yeah, man.
This like I look for you on PlayStation or Xbox.
I used to take pictures of guys I slept with when they'd sleep in my bed. I'd take a photograph like I was a woman serial killer in a way. And I used to like do a collage of them. One time I slept with a guy and I had my best friend who was gay, you know. I said, you wanna hear it? You wanna hear him? And I left the phone off the hook. This was back in the day when you had phones, you know.
Yeah,
and I was like, this is the action. This is almost like, remember in the 80s when they used to go like this?
Ooh. Yeah.
So I would leave the phone off the hook and let them hear us fucking.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I was wild back in the day. Marina was wild.
I understand
wild.
You back in the day, but you got to understand, it's still like, swerve. It's kind of dope. Because I've been beaten by your kind. Since I got as my role, I've been beaten over and over again. Yo, man, I like her. Nigga, be careful.
Mm-hmm.
I saw you, Derek. I was like, you know what? Derek, he could be one of my young ones. Mm-hmm. I was like, I like Derek too much. I don't want to do that. You know?
I appreciate it. Thanks for not macking me, Marina. Thanks for taking me under your comedy wing. and yes. support me as an artist. So I appreciate that.
Plus, I was like, I think I would like his mom too much, so I don't want to do that.
Yeah, my mom's too chill.
Yeah.
My mom's very chill.
Y'all can still be friends.
If you start about meeting my mom, that'd be crazy. That'd be wild. You know,
I'm talking about you and Derek's mom. Y'all can still be cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, since I didn't do anything to her son, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I do feel like I should apologize to a couple of young ones that I dated. I should talk to their moms and be like, I should not have done that.
No, the mom will probably be like, it's what they needed. It's what my son needed to get motivated. Thank you for being a part of his journey.
No, they want to whoop my ass. Trust me. Both mothers. And they're white, too.
And what's wild, you're not even trying to get your groove back. You got all the groove. Like, yeah, that's dumb smooth, Marina. That's cool. There's no way around that. That's just fly New York shit.
But meanwhile, I'm single, so I guess maybe I was doing it all wrong.
That's what you wanted, though. That's what you wanted.
You know what, Monroe? You're right.
Yeah.
It's society that makes a woman think that she has to be with someone, have children. It's society that I have my neighbor who lives right across the hall. He could probably hear me right now because he wants like some money. He called me yesterday, but he was the one he does. He gives me that call. But he was the one who said to me, he goes, a woman with no children is worthless. He said that to me. I was like,
is he African? What is he?
He's Haitian.
Okay. I knew he was something.
He goes, they're good. Great. They're no good.
That don't even make no sense. Nah, that's just unattainable.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go. What'd you say, Monroe?
That just means they're unattainable. And that's all it means. It's like no kids means no souvenirs. No one has conquered that shit.
No subies. Yeah.
So I was just like, wow. I mean, you know, I don't have no, you lived across the hall from me for like, 17 years, and you going to pull that out your ass? Mm-hmm. The hell?
Well, my dream girl has always been a girl with a bum uterus that loves to travel. So you just not having kids is fine. See, that's how committed I am. I think y'all the best kind.
Aw, you're so sweet.
When a girl says, I don't have no kids, in my head, I just go, we can like save up money and go places. Because like, we don't have shit to do, like there's no baggage on either side. It's just a nice, it's like the express lane. We doing all right. Yeah. So it's
I feel like relationships are luxuries and people look at them like it's something you have to have. It's like it's not. It's a luxury it's a luxury to life. Like you're born by yourself. You don't have to have any of this shit. But when you bring somebody in your life, it's a choice because you're like, hey, my life was going good. I think I'm comfortable enough with myself to be with somebody. It's a fucking luxury. Yeah, but people don't look at it like that.
It's so hard. Look, this whole quarantine, being by myself, isolation, is a it was a beautiful thing to realize. To realize I have done this right.
Damn.
Because I keep hearing about my sisters and their kids. I called my sister the other day. She said,
Marina is the Mac. Yes.
She said, my sister Ashley, I'm going to drop her name. She goes, I just need to get out of here. I was like, what don't you? I thought you loved those kids. I thought you were trying to get me to have kids. I thought you were like, anything I need to do to get some kids. She's like, I just need, I need to get the fuck out of here. I said, see, I did this right.
You're damn right.
And no guy I think about the most recent relationship. Oh shoot, hold on. That may be my webcam, so hold on.
Okay.
I'll be back. You guys talk.
Be right back. I always gravitate to the comics that are older than Stacey, like Brian Babylon's episode, and now this episode is like
a great episode. So, well, when she comes back, it'll be a good time to get the plugs out of the way.
Oh, dude,
I'm saying like Joe can cut all of this.
Yeah.
Are you going to do the editing, Joe, or is Dylan going to do it?
I think Dylan is, but I took notes of this.
We can't see anything. You angled it just right.
They stole my webcam in March when I had it delivered, so that's why I had to do that because this webcam is. Seriously, you cannot find a webcam right now online. Seriously, they're all sold out.
What you get? Why didn't you get a DSLR instead of a webcam?
What's that?
A DSLR I keep forgetting what DSLR stands for, but basically a digital camera that you can also use as a webcam too, and it does depth of focus. You can change the lenses and shit. And in order to get it work, you can get a cam link from Elgato. Get an Elgato cam link card, and basically it'll just allow your computer to see it and use it as a webcam. So you have more options. You can also go in the street and film shit with it and use it for other projects.
Shit.
Where webcams are like as is, and usually like the best webcam.
Rode a Geek Squad.
But, well, she is too, kinda.
But the thing is my guy, I think he really liked the guy who told me he built my computer, which I'm my gaming computer I'm having issues with right now. That's why I was on tech support.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I play Gears of War and Fortnite. I play with Yamanika and those guys.
Yeah.
But Fortnite is that's a whack.
It's boring, yo. Fortnite boring.
That shit is so awful. It makes me actually angry how bad it is. Yeah. But
a fortnight is 2 weeks or 1 4 days or some shit like that. What is that? Like a fortnight is not one night. It's and then like something.
It's like the Hunger Games.
14 days. Yeah.
It's 14 days.
That's like the Hunger Games, but it's whack. And it's like, because if you're like a, like, and I play on my PC because that's the best. Well, I have a really great gaming computer, so it's overheating right now.
He didn't put a fan in it?
The fan is in it. It's just not, I don't know what's happening. It's really bothering me because I would like to play.
Hold on. Let's get these plugs out of the way real quick. Marina, what do you got to plug?
Oh, just go see my special, Single Black Female. You can check it out. I don't know why I'm doing this voice on Amazon Prime. You can also check out my podcast, Friends Like Us. You want to hear black women talk? You want to hear the secrets? You want to hear about that magic?
I've been on that podcast. Great.
Yes, you both have. Mm-hmm. You want to hear about that magic? Listen to it on Friends Like Us, all platforms.
Yep. Boom.
Thank you.
You know what it is, people. MonroeMartinComedy.com is where you can find the 6 Foot Nothing podcast, The Roast Show, Saturday Morning Cartoons, and keep listening to No Need for Apologies. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast on all platforms. Leave a comment. Buy a shirt. All that shit.
All that shit. And, follow me on at The Great Boy on Instagram. I got a little special coming out that I filmed in my mom's garage before I came back from quarantine. So I'm about to do some fun shit with that. Look out for those clips and watch The King of Staten Island. Always. Just keep watching that show, that movie.
Excellent. Thank you so much. I was so proud of you. Oh my God. I'm proud of both of you. You're both so talented. Like, and I've been actually talking about you guys on other shows.
Oh shit.
No, because I think my generation could learn a lot from, and it could be just me. Maybe I could just learn a lot from you guys because your camaraderie, the way you guys, like, remember what Ron said about you on the show about how you guys hang out together?
Yeah.
I don't see that a lot.
But we got that from y'all. And for y'all not to see that, like, when I moved here and first person I met was Keith. And Keith introduced me to all of you. And he told me that y'all were his best friends damn near. Like, y'all were all tight. Y'all roll together. Y'all take care of each other. And that's how you should be. Like, if they're your friend, you fuck with them. And you ride for them. And y'all open doors for each other. Whatever. Like, you show each other the way. And I seen you do that. Keith do that. Godfrey, Artie, fucking Colin. Like, we watch y'all and we go, that's the way you do it.
Yeah, but I didn't live with those guys.
Yeah.
But true story, Marina, before you count yourself out. I fucked with Marina as soon as I found out that you was cool with Patrice. Because when I moved here, I heard that most women didn't like him. But then when you was like, Patrice was my dude, I'll be glad when I wish she was here to, you know, iron some of this shit out.
Oh, I used to call it I used to call it the Patrice O'Neal stick up. You remember back? Yeah. Oh, you guys probably. Look, I'm so old.
No, tell story.
You know, the stick up where you put a stick up to freshen up the room. This looks like this room needs a stick up.
Yeah.
Well, I used to say this room needs a Patrice O'Neal stick up because it's so much stinkiness going on. Mm-hmm. We need Patrice to clean it out.
Yeah.
Because he used to walk in the room and take the air out of someone who was arrogant that should never have been arrogant. And it was a beautiful thing because he did it so, I mean, some people would look at it as being cruel.
Yeah.
But it's like Keith's oldest joke. You fuck with people and you help them to heal. And that's Keith's joke that was just brilliant because Patrice had a way of doing that with people and you never saw them doing that shit again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think it's like that now? Like, how do you feel now? Do you think it's worse now? You think we needed Patrice now?
Yeah, we need. Well, we got a Sam J, but it's
I haven't experienced Sam J doing that, but not with me. I mean, I've seen her go off, but I haven't seen the fullness of it. Yeah. So I mean, if she's doing that, that's great.
She goes off. I've seen Sam J in many settings. Set a lot of people straight, and it's a fun thing to watch. I mean, I wasn't there for the glory of Patrice. I was there at the end of it. But Sam J does hold well when it's time to shut somebody down. I've seen
she protected me from a drunk white woman because we were being nice. We were all being nice. We were leaving the cellar and we was heading over to Fat Black Pussycat, and it was this white girl that does improv, and we're like, I know her. I won't say we're cool, but I know her. When I see people, I know her. I go, hey, what up? How are you doing? And I keep it moving. But she wanted me to take a picture of her with her and I was like, all right, sure. Took the picture. And then she starts going on that drunk thing where she wants me to introduce her to everybody. And I'm like,
doing the most.
It's just such and such. I'm like, now the rest is on you. And she just kept leeching to me. So we went around the corner and she came around the corner and she's like, why are you being like that? Why are you being such an asshole? This, that, and the third, blah, blah, blah. And Sam J finally came out. She was like, yo, what the fuck is your problem? She was like, I've watched this man introduce you to everybody, allow you to find your own way in, and now you're harassing him and trying to make him seem like an asshole. She was like, what is wrong with you? And she just landed to this woman. I was like,
this part made me feel good about the whole thing. This part makes me feel good about the whole thing. You got to say the whole thing, bro. She said, you fucking up right now. And you have to feel it. So just stay here and feel it. Be an asshole. Because this is what you have to go through. I was there like, it was crazy.
And the girl was drunk. The girl was drunk.
Was drunk. And then the dude that she was with was like, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened. I apologize. This and the third. And I'm like, good old Sam. Because I would have just ignored that girl.
Yeah, I mean.
You did your best, man. You did good at that.
That's a beautiful moment for Sam J. Yeah. I mean, I just think like there's definitely now there are a few people walking around very confident that shouldn't be.
Yeah.
And, you know, they need that. They need that check so they get better. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, the bullying thing is, you know, I understand it. A lot of people have been harmed by it, but a lot of people have been actually fixed and healed by it too. Yeah. I'm one of them. You know, even though as I put off like sort of a tough exterior, I was bullied a lot, you know, like as a kid, you know, growing up in a white neighborhood and then growing up in a black neighbor, I was so confused and people were always trying to bully me. But the thing is my way out of that was being funny. I would say like, if I wasn't treated like that, I don't know about my character. I don't know if life can be so perfect when you start out and everything is so safe and everything is so isolated as we know now, how you even begin to learn how to defend yourself verbally, how you even learn how to be funny, or if that's what you do to get out of a bullying situation. I mean, that is, you know, bullying actually helps in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely.
In some ways. In other ways, it's too much. But in other ways, it actually builds character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially to be on both sides, like to be bullied and to be the bully, you go, neither of these things feel good.
Yeah. I mean, Patrice had his moments where you can argue that it wasn't good. Like there were shows where I would see that he would walk an entire audience. I mean, as a comic, it was fun to fun to see, because there's a part of all of us that wants to do it our way and fuck off, you know. But there's another part that was like, okay, now people are not enjoying themselves and they've left and they're not having a good time. So that side of Patrice could be like too much, you know, or too hurtful. But when he struck a really good balance between being mean and funny, it was brilliant shit to watch. I mean, Kyle Grooms, I love Kyle Grooms, but he's had gray hair. You guys don't know it because he's always shaving off his hair. But he used to have like a little speckle of gray hair and black, right? Patrice was at the Comedy Cellar table. He took a salt shaker, a pepper shaker. He put the salt on the table. He sprinkled it with the pepper. He said, "That's Kyle Grooms' hair right there." look, and we Kyle never forgot that one. I mean, that's with him to this day. And I mean, I wasn't even in the cellar. I was too scared to even go by the table because of shit like that. So I was by the bar and I was like, "Oh shit." And we all remember that one to this day. It's just a memorable moment because Kyle did have salt. It looked so awful on that cellar chalk table.
Is that what made Kyle start shaving his head?
You know what? Possibly, because I never did see his hair after that. It was like clean. He kept it clean.
Therese is that kind of bully, man. That is choice.
You ever bully somebody that worked out? You ever like did it to the perfect point where it's just like, I'm bullying you, but I need you to be a better person? Has it ever worked out for you?
I would say like maybe, I get told I'm mean afterwards. I don't know if they ever improved.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I did it right.
I feel like mean is a cop out. When somebody go, "You're mean," it's like, no, I'm not. You just don't want to admit that I said something right.
I think you be mean sometime, bro. I've seen you be mean.
Yeah, but I'm right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm never right. I just make educated guesses.
A bro will toss a chair at a nigga face. If there's a chair available.
Look, remember when we got into it? Remember that time? And I was drinking. I thought I could take Monroe. There is no way in the world.
I was like, what the fuck did I do?
And I was all happy. I was like, I'll take you, motherfucker. I was so drunk. Yo,
I thought it was me. I literally was like, what the fuck did I do? I came back to the table all huggy and like how I am, like, "Hey, what's up, everybody?" And he's like, "Don't fucking touch me." And I was like, okay.
I forget what the fight was about.
I forgot too, but it was like, I think, I don't know. All I remember is you're like, I'll fuck you up. I was like, wait, what?
I took a couple of boxes.
Me and Marina never had the same rapport. Me and Marina was cool from jump. It was like, "Hey, what's up?"
No, me and Marina were cool. It wasn't that I didn't. You told me
I was
that,
drinking. I was an alcoholic.
I know, but it was still funny to me. Like, I still love you for it. It didn't scare me off.
I was drinking.
I just told Keith. I was like, "Wait, what the fuck did I do?" I told Keith in a way of like, "Wait, did I do something?" And he was like, "I'll figure it out."
He said Marina was drunk.
Yeah, no, he said, "I figured it out." And then he was like, "Marina was drunk. Don't worry about it. She was fucking with you." But I remember you did pull me to the side. I was like I would be like, "Hey, what's up?" And I either shake hands or I give a hug. And you was like, "People don't like all that hugging shit." You and Essie said that. Essie said that too. You said that. You said, "People don't like all that hugging shit." And like Essie, who still gives me a hug, I hugged her one day. And she was just like, "What is up? What's up with you? Always happy and hugging. What's going on?" I was like, "I don't know. I'm just happy. I don't have anything to worry about."
Oh, Esty and I, we're like kind of the same bird in that regard. Yeah.
Y'all don't like happiness.
We like happiness. We just don't like too much hugging. I mean, I got better with hugs, but you know, after this now, I guess we were right. You know, hugs, but
no hugs.
I got better in the year before this because I was like, oh, I just like to feel people. Yeah. But before that, I was like a horrible hugger.
Yeah.
I had a friend cry after my hug. She actually cried.
Why? What did you do? Like,
how did you hug her? Did you push her?
Yeah. How'd you fuck that up?
She said she was just being silly because she said it was the coldest hug she ever felt in her life. She said she had never felt something so stiff.
Oh, you gave her the pat on the back.
I did.
A hug that ends with a pat on the back, like a.
Like I belched her.
Did you do like a one circle rub? Did you do at least one revolution around the circle rub in the pat?
A lot of this.
The pat? Like,
this is like a get off me hug. That's like, keep it moving. Yeah.
And she was horrified. She was like,
how dare you?
Because did you have love in your life? What's wrong?
Bro, as you do that, it looks like you're saying, get away from me. Like you're patting it back, but it's saying, fuck away. Yeah.
It's like, I need this to end. I need this to end.
It's like, come on. Hurry it up.
Please stop. How do I get this off of me? Yeah, all of it.
That's so funny. Hey, man, cold hugs.
What is that painting in the background? What's that painting behind you? What is that?
It's the only thing that I knew how to put up on the wall.
Hilarious.
That's what it is. I should have known math. I don't know math well enough. But it's my brother, my sister's brother. Long story, my sister. I have half sisters. Her brother. Yeah. That's his painting. And it's the only one I could put up.
He painted it?
No, he just had it in his apartment. And I don't know what it is. Mm. It's a little white girl.
I know. That's what I wanted to know. I was like, why is this little white girl standing in the park looking at bushes?
And then when I started, I had my walls painted. Ooh. Yeah. And so after I had the walls painted, I was like, I need to put something up while I do these Zoom shows. And this was all I had. And I was like, wait, Black Lives Matter, but not here.
Did you go to a march since this whole thing?
Oh, hell no. I mean, I believe in this virus is very real. Mm-hmm. This is where I am a little bit of a Karen. I report people. I mean, I've done a lot though outside of marching.
Yeah.
So I do a lot of I work with Jeannie Gaffigan with Imagine Society. So we do a lot of stuff with children to work with information about Black lives, a lot of documents that they can read to be more informed, a lot of places where they can donate money. And so that's the type of stuff. Cause I have a pre-existing condition. I can't really be marching out there and I can't really, I believe that the science is right. And I believe that once it's a crowd, you've created an inside situation actually.
Yeah.
And I saw too many people out there straddling between wearing a mask and not wearing a mask to risk it. So no.
Yeah, I feel you. Wow.
Well, there you go. And that's
right. I opened for Jim Gaffigan this Saturday and I ended my set. I said, thank you so much for having me. And they were honking and beep and they were showing and they were so happy. And I said, thank you for letting me put on pants today. And just, do me a favor, wear a mask, be safe, and Black Lives Matter, bitch. Good night.
And then they stopped honking. It's like, whoa. She tricked us.
That's when you heard the record scratch instead of honking.
Mid honk.
Niggas was reversing. People start pulling out backwards.
and it's a perfect show to do that because they can't they can't boo you. And if they honk, it sounds like the same thing.
They gotta roll down their windows to boo you. As like you ain't going through all that shit.
They didn't do all that. And then it was my last words. So
yeah.
Black Lives Matter, bitch.
Black Lives Matter, bitch. Yeah. Is Jim Gaffigan's audience the audience that you gotta say that though? Like you gotta be like Black Lives Matter or like he has like a middle America crowd.
I think yes, he has a middle America. He has a very white audience, but he himself put it out there on his own Instagram page, which was, for him, that was a very ballsy thing to do because his audience, they know him as this pale, white guy. they don't know his real political stance. Not really. So that was, and he even told me that he was nervous, but he felt like he had to do it. And that's why I was proud of him. And then, so yeah, I'm like, his audience must know, they know he feels this way.
Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, I was like, it's not a time to like sit back and be complacent. I would say a certain amount of my stand up took a turn after this, you know, because I think before, like even my special talks about just where I was honestly about wokeness and how I didn't like the labels of woke and I didn't like the pressures that I was getting, especially as a comic and the cancel culture. I you know, I don't like all that stuff because I'm a comic.
How do you feel about wokeness?
It's changed. I mean, I think that now, I think the label wokeness was a problem because people were using it against you in a way that had nothing to do with being woke. Yeah. It had a lot to do with being canceled, and it had a lot to do with being a celebrity, and it had a lot to be like people were hijacking the idea of wokeness to promote their careers. And I saw that and I was like, get the fuck out of here. You ain't doing the real work. If you're doing the real work, you quieted about that work. Yeah. You just go ahead and you do it. Just do it.
Yeah.
You know, but now after the pandemic, I mean, it was still going on, and after we've seen what we've seen and we aren't distracted, I don't really care where it comes from. If it comes from celebrities, if it comes from someone who's trying to advance their career, if it comes from any, I just, as long as it's out there, I think that's all that matters to me, because there is no room for a nuanced conversation on Black lives. It's you either for us, you either with us, you either get this or you don't. That's it.
I agree. All right. I'm glad I got that opinion, because I always felt like wokeness is a competition now. You know what I mean? Like people, like they don't, it's not a, but I've always felt like if you're woke, your job is to spread that awareness and not look down on the people who don't know it. But it's not like that now. And it's like, what? You don't know this shit? I can't fuck with you. It's like, well, what happened to spreading awareness? You're not spreading awareness. You're judging people. You're shaming people who aren't aware. And I get why people aren't aware, because they have their own lives. And some people are so focused and tunnel vision on their own shit that they don't have time or the energy to let everything else in. And I'm like, take time, be patient with people who don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I used to get in trouble for having too many white friends.
I don't get, that was also a thing that I don't get. I'm like, you can be woke and also have white friends, be in an interracial relationship. I'm like, you can have all those things. You can be aware of your history and where you're going and also not segregate. Because segregation isn't being woke. It isn't progression, right?
Right.
I'm gonna keep my white friends shit, and they don't even buy shit. I got the worst white friends.
Hilarious. I got white friends that ask for gas money. You know what
You know what I mean?
Yeah. your white friends are broke. They're not using their privilege at all.
All my white friends are broke, and it's fine. I shouldn't be making more money than any of my white friends.
You like, nigga, where's your privilege?
I was like, what the fuck? You had two parents. You grew up with two fucking parents.
That's so funny.
And this is what you become.
Yeah. your white stuff is useless here.
Yeah.
Whiteness is useless.
I'm like, we still get stopped by the cops. Like, what are you here for?
But I know. I used to always
have one job to do. One fucking job.
Go ahead, Marina.
Yeah, I do think I think everyone's dealing with a different time, and we're, you know, it's funny to see that when you don't go into a comedy club every day and you don't have the social interaction with white people every day, how you become more militant, because you're not constantly screening your thoughts, right? Because we always go into our workplace and we are, I hate the word minority, but we're the minorities. So we're always trying to be polite, and we're always trying to make sure, they feel comfortable with us. And as far as the audience, we realize it's a white audience and we do want to still get laughs. So we don't go too hard, you know, gotcha. And we're always trying to find a way in for them to get the jokes about racism. Mm-hmm. So we don't get heckled and ruin our show. But when you don't have that going on for like 3 months, you're like, oh, I'm just fucking mad now.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to say it all. Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this is how I really am.
Yeah.
And what I've realized is how much I've been screening myself to make other people feel comfortable. And I don't like it.
So when this whole thing is done, we're going to see a new Marina. We're going to see a more free Marina.
Back. She doesn't have to.
She's back.
I've always been like this.
Shit. Yeah.
She's always been like this.
Nigga, you smell like French fries. Yeah.
Punk bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Punk bitch.
I'll be the new Marina. I'll be militant as hell with my white husband.
Yep.
That's how it used to be though.
But most militant people aren't with the same race, right? The ones who are, the ones who are like, black people should do this and this, and then you look, you're like, well, let me see what's going on in that bedroom. It's like, why are your kids' hair so straight?
Yeah, you almost want to go, how did you resolve all those issues with that situation right there? Huh?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Woke niggas always got a son named Aiden. So, yeah.
Well, I always feel like a son named Aiden.
He's
woke militant motherfuckers always got a little beige, little army behind them. But anyway, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry.
Aiden. Yeah. It's like black power. Aiden, put that down. It's great.
His middle name was like Mustafa, just to throw people off.
Yeah.
Just so you can eat at the barbecue.
Right. Yeah,
so funny.
Oh, you guys are so funny. I really adore you both. I'm so excited to see like everything you both are doing. And like when I saw Derek in the King of Staten Island, I've been smoking so much weed I can't remember.
But Derek is the King of Staten Island.
No, I'm not. Pete Davidson is the King of Staten Island. I was just in the movie for a second.
You're not in there for a second. I remember you a lot. Like, were a star in that movie, Derek.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much.
And you stood out. And you know what else is great about it? Is like, I keep talking about like black characters, like the depth and the levels and the diversity of who we are, right?
Yeah.
Like, you showed that. Like, as a black man, you're like, it's like you knock them out, but it's just like your best friends. And what I love about Derek is always like, what, you know, Derek's like loose.
Yeah.
Like, I love that. I love it.
Yeah, he got to be himself. That was dope.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great. They need to see.
Because we got warm because of that, because you was a house head and Godfrey was. So when we was in Chicago in warehouse doing, I was like, oh shit. Yeah.
Me a little bit more than Godfrey. I know Godfrey is from Chicago, but I was like hardcore. I'm a hardcore house hit. Like I'm a DJ. I mean, Godfrey's definitely a house hit, but I am like I know all the DJs.
Yeah.
Like the DJs.
Oh shit. House DJs got hard names to memorize.
What are their names? Give us some of the DJ names.
Well, and my ex-boyfriend, one of the ones that I broke him down in my early days.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like screaming outside my window when I had another dude in my bed. I was he was like, Marina, now that's just wrong.
What was his DJ name?
There's nothing like hearing a man. I was now that is just wrong. I was like, hey, you know,
follow me.
And I had roommates. I had an Asian roommate at the time. I remember in the next room, I could hear them going, Marina, she is crazy. I'm like, hey, you know, hey, that's what I do. But he was a DJ. He's passed since, sadly. So, you know, he was a good friend of mine for a long time. I actually dedicated my special to him.
Mm-hmm.
But the other ones that you need to know about, sort of like chosen few DJs from Chicago, were the original, like, you know, Frankie Knuckles, everyone knows.
Frankie Knuckles, yeah, yep.
Lil Lewis, Louis Vega is New York. Timmy Regisford is New York. Chicago, though, is Wayne. I always forget his last name because he was so annoying. Wayne Williams. I think it's Wayne Williams.
Wayne actually, Williams. That sounds like it.
DJ Wayne Williams.
DJ Wayne Williams on the track.
DJ Wayne Williams. He started R. Kelly's career.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
It is. How's that going Wayne now?
Well, he's fine. I mean, he ain't R. Kelly.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, it's funny because he has a lot of Patrice-isms, this DJ. He's so much like Patrice. It's crazy. Oh, okay, gotcha. But he's a great DJ. Alan King.
Alan King sounds like a writer. Like, he writes books.
Like
Alan
he writes
King. Like, DJ. Sex novels. Alan King.
He is a lawyer.
Really? Oh. Alan King and Associates.
Yeah,
he'd be mixing in some of his book and music.
Yeah. Like, he's a lawyer. He's like, if you need legal representation, come over to the booth now.
Well, his whole thing is he's a DJ by night, lawyer by day.
Cause it'll be weird if you was a lawyer by night and a DJ during the day. What are you DJing?
That's
brunch?
Weird. That's like brunch DJ.
I know.
In the mall.
Brunch DJs are hilarious. At
the phone store for some reason.
But he is responsible for bringing Barack Obama to the Chosen Few Music Festival. So that
wow. Can Barack dance? So, did Barack dance, or did he just be like, all right? Oh, that's my shit.
Barack is a two-stepper. He two-step. He do a two-step.
Oh, he does do a mean two-step. Yes, he does.
A mean two-step, though?
Yeah, just Barack got a little soul in him. He be going to church and shit. You be seeing him jamming the church. Yeah, he was a great guy. I miss that administration, man. That was a good time.
Well, what he did was he did like a speech. Mm-hmm. That year for the picnic, because it's a Chosen Few picnic. I forget how many people come. It's one of the biggest house music festivals. I should say black house music festivals, because it's not the white, you know, house music festivals. It's the black one. And he would announced on screen. He wasn't there, but he announced for us, like, house music, Chicago. He says, I love it. He named a street after the Chosen Few guys. Mm-hmm. So it was nice. It was lovely.
Oh, Barack didn't show up. He fucking just
He treated
it like the Grammys. He was like, I'm sorry, I can't be here to accept this award.
I'm gonna send it to you guys afterwards so you can see it.
Yes.
But I told someone, I said, it looked like he had to do like probably a bunch of those. And he was like, okay, is this, that's the apple picking one? Okay, give me the house music one. Now I'll do that. Hello. Chosen Few People. Like, he had a couple of those he had to do. It's a Chicago house scene is a very political one as well. So you have a lot of people showing up, a lot of mayors showing up, aldermen showing up at those festivals, because a lot of people are there. So you can, you know, get your votes.
All right. Good to know. I don't know I've ever been a house music. I got to listen to it more.
On my page.
I used to go to this place.
You dance.
You ever heard this place called The Shelter?
Yes.
The Shelter. We used to, when I was dancing with Face the Flav, and I was in my little dance clique, we used to go to The Shelter and battle New York niggas all night.
Ooh, nice. Yeah,
The Shelter was
in my
20s.
That was Timmy Regisford.
Yeah, we used to burn it down. And it was, them Philly niggas came. We got to step it up. I hear him like talking in the bathroom. I'm like, oh shit, it's going to be a fight tonight.
That's so funny. We got to shank them niggas. You see the nigga with the curly hair who drove up here in his mama car? We going to get him.
He got those soft curls. I saw those soft curls, nigga.
We going to scalp this nigga.
Soft curls, nigga.
Yeah, no.
Soft curls, nigga. Good time. So, I sound like Artie McCall. Soft curls, nigga.
Soft curls, nigga.
But the house music scene in New York is so funny because if you guys know Mike Yard.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe that black people in New York ever dance to house music.
That's so
funny. I mean,
funny.
That's a lie. Like,
that's a whole lie.
That's a whole lie. He's also Caribbean too, though. He's from like the island. So he don't believe shit. He's new here.
he doesn't, he's like, what, get out of here. No black people listen to house music. And what are you talking about? I go, Mike.
He's probably thinking like white house music. Isn't white house music more of like drum and bass and shit?
Yes.
Ever been to Newark, New Jersey? Like, them niggas house dancing ACG boots and guns on. Like, they be, follow me, But you be like, so it's everywhere.
I just don't know how he didn't see that. I said it.
Run them pockets. No, but that's because niggas in his hood hid it from him. Niggas in his hood, they was like, he was like, yo, where you going so dressed up? I'm going over this chick house.
They was going to house music. Nigga go about to go house dance.
Yeah. In Brooklyn, they have music festivals all the time in Brooklyn where it's like house people dance. He's like, no, that's all white people. I go, no, Mike, no.
That's the curse of the white dreadlock. That's what that is. It's the curse of the white dreadlock. These hippies came in and they came to start dancing to the Chicago stuff. So everybody was like, oh, that's what they did.
Yeah.
But nah, black people was housing hard in Chicago in like warehouses with no air conditioning, like back in the day. I had to do history studies and all.
How do you learn the dances for house music, though? Do you just go and you just see it over and over and over again? And then you're like, okay, I feel it.
It's a feeling. Yeah. See, for me.
These guys, I want to say they were part of the Mop Top crew.
Mm-hmm.
It was a guy named Shaness. Shaness Khalil and another guy. And they were like the dudes that created the steps in New York.
Mojo was one guy.
Huh?
Mojo or whatever. I forget his name is Mojo or something. But there's some you can look up.
The names escaped me, but they all was in New York dancing.
And they made the steps up. I see you on your Instagram, Marina.
One of the nastiest ones. Yeah.
You do your weekly house dancing thing.
Yeah, and Keith hates it. But I do it because I know he hates it. He can't.
That's so funny.
I do it every Friday. I did it the first time I did. I used to do it and make it so that you couldn't see that it was me because I was just like, I don't want this to be like a sexual thing. I just love house music.
But it is a sexual thing now because you put like this weird sepia tone thing over it and now there's just a fucking silhouette like an Apple commercial.
Yeah.
Like what? So, house is all about
losing
yourself in the dance. So it can come off a little sexy sometimes. But they was house dancing in the Matrix. That's sort of kind of when they was in the cave.
Yes.
But that's like white house dancing.
Or Blade. Yeah, Blade is house white dance. But Blade was the opening scene of Blade was probably the best opening ever. That house shit. And the boy, he's like.
See,
and they're
but
all
now
fucking
to me,
vampires are like, yeah, motherfucker, we gonna eat you, nigga.
Yeah.
But house music to me is vampire music. House music is vampire music. Only vampires dance to house music.
That's because of Blade.
Now you got fucked up. See, that's the problem. Vampire music is that's White House, but that's
it's African, a soulful.
That's Afro-Cuban. That's all drums. We got that. That's us.
I learned house dancing from going to, in Chicago, it was called the Powerhouse, La Mirage, and it was also called the Warehouse. The Warehouse turned into the Powerhouse, renamed and everything. But I learned, what I didn't realize was I was learning my moves from gay men who were voguing.
Okay. Mm.
So it wasn't like in New York, you have those houses, like from Paris is Burning. But in Chicago, I didn't even know they were gay men. I just thought I really love their dance moves and I wish they would dance with me. And they never did. And I was like, if I could get so good that they dance with me, I think I've won. Yeah. And I had no idea. I was trying to turn a gay man at a very young age.
She
had
said,
no
why
idea.
Don't you dance with me?
If you watch me, I do a lot of voguing and you know, like style, like, because that's just where I came from.
Yeah.
And it was all about a feeling. It was not like there was, now you have classes, Monroe. Yeah. If you go on YouTube, you will see house music dancing classes. That was like not a thing back then.
I had to learn in the clubs because I had a friend named Cricket, James Cricket. I forgot his last name. But Cricket was that guy in New York, Philly, that kind of brought house down to Philly to teach us. And then we started going up New York with him to go watch shit. It was a pretty cool thing.
But there's some really, I think his name is Mojo. I'm going to pull it up. I'll send it to you. But yeah. He is probably in New York City. He's one of the best because he's created some moves that I've just never seen before where he'll evolve into like an animal all of a sudden.
It's like interpretive dance.
It's some crazy
interpretive
shit.
House dance. All right. Sure. So when the world opens back up, I want to do that. I probably won't house dance, but I will go and I will check it out and I will look and I will observe.
Yeah.
I'll probably do my Barack two-step.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's the old Chicago is called stepping.
Yeah.
That's why I like stepping.
Stepping is the shit. Stepping look dope.
I still like that song. God damn it, I can't step in the name of love.
Nah, right, man, that, but you can Jamie play Fox the beat. Song, they, them step was lost when that Jamie Foxx song came on. I don't need it. I don't need you. Some shit like that.
I never heard,
you ever heard that song. I don't need it. I got money to blow, and I'm tired. That dumb joke. You want to hold my hand? You want to think? Them old motherfuckers being there with them pantsuits. Getting it.
Like all one color, like everything is one color. Like,
I don't need it.
They got a burgundy linen shirt with burgundy pants and then burgundy gaiters. Shoes. Yep.
Yeah.
With a burgundy Kango. Yep.
Yeah. My dad used to step. My dad was like, baby, come here, let's step. And I was like, I don't know if I have the moves, Dad. But it was great. It was so much fun. It's a very Chicago thing. Yeah. That soulfulness, because you know Chicago's roots are a lot from the South and from like Mississippi, so that's why you'll hear the difference in sound of house from New York. Yeah. New York has a more jazzy Latin Afro style, where Chicago is straight up. It sounds like it's some slave shit going on.
Damn, that's why y'all be sweating and shit. Whenever I see like Chicago stepping, y'all be drenched in sweat, and it'd be really in y'all soul.
Remember that night where it just wasn't going my way? We went to that house club. You took a girl out of there in 20 fucking minutes. And I was in there listening to the nigga Kunga Drum. This is years ago, Michelle. Years ago. But he was playing Kunga Drums and shit. And I couldn't. And the girl, I was cussing out this girl. Oh, my God. And then you came back. And this niggas was still booed. That was a house club.
Oh.
Ben Bay or whatever in Brooklyn. Yeah.
That was a fun spot. John Nunn took us there.
Yeah, that was a house club.
A white guy took us to a house club.
Yeah, because they love it. Well, the like Cypher told me that white kids were taking on the more soulful sound than the techno as of like 2 years ago.
Yeah,
especially millennials.
Yeah,
they were more into the Chicago style of house, which is the soulful, the real like Mississippi. Like get down and dirty house music. They love like in Chicago, you'll go to places and you'll see white people dancing some really like funky stuff. And you'll be confused by it. You're like, what's going on? But that's the culture now.
Yeah.
So,
that's good though.
Which is great. It's great because they will continue. They will make sure the music continues. So that's a wonderful thing. Yeah.
I mean, white people are getting a little bit more soulful now, especially like the overseas whites. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
I love it. Overseas whites.
I like calling them
like the French,
overseas whites.
The French. Boy, the French know how to dance.
Like, they know how to dance.
The
and
French get
sing
down.
And shit. French,
the English,
Well, they were responsible for house music definitely staying in it. Because
the French?
In Europe, UK, all of it, they're responsible for making sure that house music stayed in the air. Because Chicago kind of dipped off because of a lot of like the laws and the clubs were kind of shut down. Yeah. And New York was getting more hip hop and rap. So, and it took over Chicago too. But the UK continued it and it's just filtered all the way back through. So thank God, you know?
Yeah, thank God. Yeah. See, overseas whites sometimes work shit out.
They weave it together. They straight up by the gridlock.
All right. Look, we got to go. It's been an hour now. Look, it's been great having you all, Marina. Thank you so much for coming on Marina. Make sure y'all check out Friends Like Us. Make sure you check out Marina's special on Amazon Prime. Get up close to the camera.
Single black female, right?
Single black female.
Is that it?
I can't hear you. We can't hear you. Oh, okay.
Check out my special.
Okay.
Yeah.
Single black female. Mm, yeah. Mm.
Yo, you do have that voice. That's a sex hotline voice. Remember
that's
you used to call this?
Girl six voice. Marina got the girl six.
Check out my special. It's so hot.
1-900 number voice.
Yo. Where you at? All right, Marina. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
See you later.
See ya.